Hello, beautiful beings. Welcome back to another episode of Superpowers of the Soul. I'm your host, Amorica Kimberly Fenn, and I am outrageously delighted to be inside this extra powerful episode all about empowering your voice with our incredible guest, Julie Blue. Julie is an accomplished singer and pianist, an award-winning film composer and recording artist, as well as a uniquely transformational voice coach. She's touched thousands of people through her 8 CDs, keynote concerts, and vocal freedom leadership and team building trainings. She's also artistically directed many shows and concerts over the span of her career, as well as performing at major fundraising and conference events. She has worked with thousands of people, helping them to free their voices and discover their unique sound and confidence. She's worked with companies such as Build a Better Tomorrow, Leader to Luminary, and Peak Potential, leading vocal empowerment sessions for up to 400 people. She is fiercely dedicated to creating harmonious communities and has offered vocal freedom training right across North America. Julie founded Radiant Heart Song Circle in 2016, following her mission to help women liberate their voices, build supportive community, and stand in their authentic confidence. And now she's dedicated to sharing the tools she's created with women globally through her online interactive course, Empower Your Voice. I know Julie to be an exceptionally inspiring, talented, compassionate, and bold-hearted woman. She just walks through this world with an exquisite level of integrity, honesty, and grace. And I know that with her on the show, it will be overflowing with value, inspiration, entertainment, and so much joy for you. So let's get her on. Julie, sweetheart, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here.
I am so glad to be here.
Yay. I'm thrilled to have you with us today for so many reasons. But, you know, I think that there are so many people today kind of silently suffering from feelings of disconnection and isolation, often afraid to voice their true thoughts and feelings or really fully show up in their lives, you know, and perhaps now more than ever with all the uncertainty in the world, the cancel culture as it is, and maybe even some of the effects of the expanding virtual world we live in. And I just feel like if ever the time was ripe for us to learn about the healing power of our own voice and the power of joining together in voice with others to create peace and connection in our communities and on the planet, well, now's certainly that time. So I get really excited when I hear about people like you who are genuinely able to teach people to empower their voices no matter what. And I'm so curious, where does your motivation to help others do that actually come from?
Wow, where does it come from? It is divinely inspired. You know, we were thinking about those words, divine design, before we started. And you know how there's your idea of what you want, and then there's your marching orders of what your divine purpose is here. Yeah. So, you know, what I thought, what I came for, is I love music, and I studied music and performed and sang and played piano and keyboards and toured, and yet I continuously found myself in situations where I was with people who wanted to use their voices, who wanted to sing, and had each their own unique reason why not. And it continued to happen over and over and over again until I got the message and understood that, you know, my purpose really is to share love, and that music is the language that I can connect to people. And I think, you know, well, I've got tons and tons of tricks up my sleeve and modalities that I've developed and education and all of that stuff. It's actually really simple for me. I began to see that as opposed to teaching someone something, saying, I know it, but you don't know it, and I'll show you so you can get it right. It was less about that and more about remembering who we really are and remembering who we came to be. And what I mean by that is we all came as babies. And when you are around a baby, you can see perfect vocal technique, unless a baby is sick. The little belly expands. When that baby has a need or a desire or a pain or is lonely, the jaw drops and out comes their unique, beautiful sound. I know because I had one of those little ones, and they can cry all night and never lose their voices. And I began to understand that the journey was more about remembering who we are. And that's really where my desire to share this journey of expressing our unique, individual, beautiful voice.
All right, everyone. Can you see what I mean? Overflowing with value, with compassion, with truth, and with the greater possibility. I mean, that's how I perceive you. All the things and ways that I perceive you, it's as someone who really stands for the greater possibility of us all. And I love this vision of you as someone who helps us remember what is already there rather than someone who puts something onto something, right? Like a force rather than a reveal. Yeah. That in of itself is just revealing of empowerment. I mean, that is the process of empowerment. Julie, I can't wait to dive so deep into this with you. You do have so much to share, and your stories are fantastic. You know, we're going to cut to a short break before we dive in together. Where, before we do that, can we send people to go find out more about you and all the goodness you're up to in the world?
Well, as you so beautifully introduced me as Julie Blue, you can type in Julie Blue and come to julieblue.com and a whole bunch of things that I'm up to and ways that you're invited to come and join me are on that website.
Oh, so beautiful. Thank you so much. And we'll make sure that those links are on the show page for anyone listening. All right, everyone, you are listening to Superpowers of the Soul here on the Superpower Network. We're going to take a short break and be right back to get deep into empowering your voice with Julie Blue when we return. Stay tuned. You won't want to miss this one.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tonya Don Rekla, Director of Superpower Experts. If you're ready to activate your superpowers and turn your lifetime journey into the journey of a lifetime, go to superpowerexperts.com and get started today.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Amora Kai, and if you're just tuning in, today we are talking with Julie Blue about life and how we can go about empowering our voice. And so we're here talking about the very practical magic that comes from empowering your voice. And, you know, as Julie started to talk about just before the break, relaying that babies are born so naturally with their voices, you know, as I thought about all the goodness Julie is up to in the world, as I was prepping for this episode, I realized, just as Julie just touched on, that I've been around so many children in my life, you know, so far. And I noticed that the majority of kids I've known, and yes, the younger, the better, you know, the majority have so little issues expressing themselves fully. And if you ask if they can sing, it is usually a resounding version of, like, yes, of course I can, before they just burst out into sound, you know? And so one of the things I got really curious about is what are some of the things that happen along the way, Julie? Because as adults, you know, so many of us dream of singing or speaking with ease or confidence, but find ourselves very stuck or even kind of drowning in criticism or fear and ultimately just really holding ourselves back from expressing ourselves.
Well, I think you just, you know, first of all, I have to say everything you're saying about me is so true for you in terms of seeing people in their most, in their higher self, in their most divine expression of themselves. And when you see people that way, people show up that way. So please accept that acknowledgement. It's I have so much resonance to be here talking with you. So as to your question, I'm thinking back to, you know, a number of years ago, my mom was a grade one teacher and a really special grade one teacher. And she would bring me into her classroom to hang out with her kids. And I remember one day I went to her classroom in the morning, and then I was brought in by a high school in the afternoon to do something. And in the morning, I asked those six-year-old little ones, hey, you guys, who sings? And you're right. They all, both hands came up in the air and they jumped up. I do. I do. And they said that because nobody told them they couldn't.
Right.
Nobody said, you need to look like this to sing. You need to dress like that to sing. You need to have these qualities to sing. And if you don't have them, stand in the back and mouth the words. You know, that's coming just a little bit later. But at that point, nobody told them. Nobody told them, well, if you make a sound and it's not perfect or it doesn't sound like this or that or this, people might make fun of you. And that's going to be really painful. Nobody told them that. And they said, yes, I can. And then I remember going to this high school, doing some things in an inner city arts camp over the summer. And I went to a high school to talk to them about them. And I said, hey, guys, who here sings? And they all crossed their arms and rolled their eyes. And I had that exact same thought. What happened to you between that bright little being that was like, I do, I do. And who you are now. But, you know, I'm going to flash forward because I got to work with a lot of those kids. And what ended up happening was that a group of them selected themselves and sought me out and made this lunchtime choir, we called it. And they were the coolest, most supportive kids. And I ended up bringing in a recording engineer to record because I wanted to elicit their own creative expression of their life. And they had a contest of all the songs to see which song they wanted to record, and they were all singing on it. And I want to speak to the key that unlocked them, which was feeling safe and supported.
Oh.
That was the only rule, was that if someone tried something, if someone went for something, you just couldn't diss them. And I actually, if that was happening, I was like, okay, there's the door. You don't belong here. And people could have another chance and they'd come back. Because when we don't feel safe, what happens is putting my vocal coach hat on, all the mechanisms that allow us to breathe in that authentic way from the lower belly, a vocal coach would say from the diaphragm, you know, from the lower part of the body to expand the lower ribs, to let that breath come up to a relaxed and open jaw, which becomes a chamber to shape the sound and the vowels, to be able to connect with the emotion behind what you want to say and send it out to the world. All of those things, when you don't feel safe and you feel judged, they shut down.
Julie, you weave magic when you speak. I can feel my body following along organically. Just so
I'm
powerful.
With you. I'm with you.
I feel you.
This is and a great conversation.
It is. And I'm so grateful that you're here for that reason, because, you know, I see the effects in the people I work with, in the nervous system, in that shutdown space, in that feeling unsafe. And the fact that you're speaking to it, I'm so, so grateful. I mean, I love you. I love that you're such a stand for all the things you stand for peace, for connection, for safety, and mostly for singing as a superpower. And I know there's so many benefits of singing and chanting that I hope we get into today.
But well, I want to go there with you.
Yeah.
And having this very, very strong memory of something from that time. Can I just share one more brief story?
Of course.
So this makes me cry. Mm. So the guy whose song that the rest of those youth, they voted the song that was going to be recorded right at the summer camp, and the recording engineer coming in, and it was big excitement. And he was not the most popular, attractive guy. He was, when you think back to the worst moments in high school, he was really it, but he was a really beautiful human. And I was so excited they chose his song because it was real. Now, I didn't see him again. One, two, three. It was 4 years later. And I went into a Dairy Queen. And there he was, serving in the Dairy Queen. And he saw me. And rather than the greeting that I expected, which was, oh, hi. He ran out the back. I'm like, what? And I went out to the back and I was like, what's going on? I'm sure glad to see you. And he was weeping. And it makes me weep to think of the story. And he said, something you didn't know, nobody knew, was I just couldn't stand it anymore. And that was the summer I was going to commit suicide. I had it all planned. But then when I got into this arts camp, I loved music so much. I was like, well, I'll just go to the arts camp and then I'll do it. And I was still going to do it. And then I met you and I started writing songs and I was like, okay, well, I'll just write the song and then I'll do it. And then they picked my song and then we recorded it. And then every time I wanted to do it, I just play that song and nobody knew that.
Julie. So
I would say, you know, like the deeper part is our very lives depend on us feeling seen and heard. Yeah. It's unbearably isolating and lonely without a connection that says, yes, you are okay as who you are. You don't have to be perfect to be part of the tribe. We are, most of us, wired to be part of the tribe.
Absolutely. Can you all see why I love this woman? Oh my goodness. It is absolutely a fundamental human need to feel safe, to be seen, to be heard, and to feel an intrinsic sense of belonging. And so much happens along the way as we started this conversation. You know, what happens? What happens? Well, what happens is little by little, experience by experience, our heart starts to close down and our sense of those fundamental needs, they're not getting met. And we sort of turn this eye towards ourselves as, you know, we must be to blame. And then we get stuck. We get mired in all kinds of stories and all kinds of emotions that are impossible to live in. We get stuck in isolation. And we can, so many of us end up in that place that that beautiful, beautiful boy was in before, thankfully, he met you and had that experience. Wow.
Yeah. And please don't think, you know, for me, it's, I really am not painting myself as a hero in this. The hero, if I was going to go, the hero right here is the rest of those kids who transformed themselves from either ignoring him or being downright mean to him to going, hey man, what a cool song you wrote. You know, like that's the medicine. Yes.
It is the medicine, but I will, because I will
I hold space for that.
You definitely really hold space for that.
Really beautiful thing. Go ahead, please.
No, I just want to speak to that safe space that you started with. I mean, there's so much. And of course, I know you don't paint yourself that way and you're just a beautiful teacher and channel, but creating that safe space for those kids to be able to make that transformation, you're holding transformational space. And yes. I think that is the key for all of this. That's the fundamental key.
Yes.
Oh, you're so great. Okay. So, it's so good. It's so good. And I would also bow so deeply to anybody who is here standing for expression. I mean, when I see people who are so locked up and so shut down, they can't voice their thoughts. They're shaking in anxiety and lack of confidence. They don't feel like they belong as a result. They don't really know who they are and they're not standing right in the things that really open them up and make their heart shine. I mean, you are definitely here to share love, but I would say you're also here to help unlock it in others.
Yes, the word transformational is key.
I have so many questions for you. I'm so curious. Just to the side, you've been doing this work a long time, right? I mean, you've been doing this kind of work in the world a long time. I'm so curious, what's one of the more surprising things that you've really learned along the way? Is there something that really surprised you?
Let's let that part will come out. Mm-hmm. You asked before, you said, I want to speak to the healing sound.
Yeah.
Would it be okay? Let's go there. And
sure.
And as always, I'm sure a nugget of delight and surprise will emerge.
Oh, I trust the flow, honey. Absolutely. Absolutely. The benefits of singing and chanting, the healing power of voice. Yeah, I'd love to hear you speak to that.
Well, you see, you what I want you to understand is I never set out to be a transformational vocal coach. I set out to be a singer and to be a piano player. And for years, I studied, you know, in university and jazz, and I practiced, and like, this was my complete passion. So, okay, here's the surprise. So what literally changed my conjecture is this brief story. I was performing in Japan. An agent had heard me playing and singing at some fancy hotel back in the days when I was really honing my chops and going out to do gigs, just to really hone those chops, and invited me to travel to Japan to do a gig in a fancy spot there. And being a cultural, curious adventurer, I went. Now, here is the moment of transformation. At that point, it was just like what I told you. I thought that music was something that if you got really good at, you could be on the radio, you could have records, you could touch people. You know, I still had that positive heart of I wanted to sing things that lifted people and inspired them. But that's what I thought music was. And what I thought I was there to do was to entertain and for people to go, oh, isn't she good? That was my thought. That's what had been taught to me by my teachers and by my time getting a degree in university. So I went to the magical city of Kyoto, which really is an amazing place, with a friend that I had met. And he brought me, he said, if you're going to be in Japan, you must see Kyoto. So we went to Kyoto and we walked into a temple that was huge. Maybe there was 4,000 people. It was huge. And I was hit with an energy so profound. I'd never experienced anything like it. And I knew that something was going on, but I didn't understand it. And I said, please explain this to me. What is this? And he explained that the people there were chanting to send solace or comfort to a community in Colombia where there had been terrible mudslides and whole families of people were still under the mud. And it was literally like a light bulb went on in my consciousness. And I understood that as tangible as a TV signal or a radio signal, these people were connecting from the heart and from the throat and from intention to send the people who were in trouble and their families who were worried about them, to send them solace, comfort, love. They were collecting money and blankets too. It was tangible, but there was something that I'd never experienced. And I believe that was the moment when my career shifted. It shifted because my belief in the potentiality of sound itself as a vibratory energy that created its own signal sent by the wings of intention and practice. And it's not, you know, I'm not coming from a religious place. I'm a deeply spiritual person. But there's no subscribing to any specific religion for this to happen. It's coming back to people joining together to send out a force. So that was surprising. I was like, what? Really? Okay.
Yes, that's exactly how we're answering that question. That's fantastic. Oh, so powerful. Yeah, rather shocking. And also I would suspect kind of enlightening. And I can see the ripples of that in the work that you do today. How powerful. I mean, one of the things that you talk about, if I've heard you talk about, is the power of connection, how, you know, singing and chanting open up your heart and things, but it's especially powerful for so many reasons when we do it in community. Is that right?
I think so. I think like everything, Excuse me. No, I really encourage, well, right now, I've worked with lots of ages of people and men and women. I had a Singspiration Singers, which was a big choir. There was 80 people in it at its height, and I did that for many, many years. And for right now, my internal guides are, you know, have given me the marching orders that I am to work with women, as many women as possible, to help them liberate their voices. And there's lots of reasons for that, not to be exclusive to anyone. Mm-hmm. And so what I find with so many of the women is inherent in their being is this genius, this genius of expression and creativity. It's there. It's already there. And to allow it to come out means to create safety.
Yeah.
And support, and also the tools, you know, the technique and the tools really, really help. And I have a whole system that I call AVA, Authentic Vocal Activation, that I see, you know, it's right from putting your attention on the bottom of your feet. And when you do that and you envision, you know, roots, if you will, anything that you're holding up, goes down into the ground, and we're taking the energy of the earth up into your knees, letting your knees be soft. Because you notice if you lock your knees, your butt clenches and your jaw sticks out. And we bring it up into a real conscious breath of in through the nose, expanding your belly and bringing that breath up. We bring into the heart and we hum and tap across the heart and the collarbone, and allow the armor that so many of us carry to soften in a space where you know you're safe. And bring it up, softening and through ritual and opening the throat, allowing some of the tears and the fears and the unexpressed energy in the throat to go. And we come into the jaw to open and release and you know, sigh out some of the pain of clenching back the authentic expression. And we come up through the face and focus on in the middle of the forehead, that third eye, to what your most divine desire is. You know, because when you are saying, this is what I desire, and we come up to the top of the head, and, you know, I play the game of tapping the crown chakra, tapping the top of the head, and saying, bless the sound, so that any sound that comes from you, you're blessing it. And this is the essence, authentic vocal technique, or I call it AVA, of how I teach, because it comes back to this subtle practice of being in your body. And trusting the earth to hold you up and allowing you to be supple and fluid and it not having to be perfect. Because if you look at someone who's really good at what they do, whether they're a cook or a figure skater or a singer, they make it look easy. Mm-hmm. And so that's the place. That's where I play is, it's, you know, let's bring in the ease. And ease comes when you're not trying too hard. And not trying too hard comes when you're able to say, well, I'm going to accept myself right from where I am. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm still opening. And that is the secret sauce, when you can relax enough to let that vibration start to happen in your body and in your music and in your expression.
It is so powerful what you're speaking to, and it is so timely, and there are so many golden nuggets in what you just shared. I, in my studies in coaching and transformational coaching for women specifically, one of the things we learned was about how to create specific containers that women need in order to do exactly what you're describing. And you've described that container perfectly in how you've cultivated this technique. And one of the key components, of course, is for women to be safe, you know, and sponsored, especially by other women, to be brilliantly imperfect, to show up in that space. Because in so much of our culture, you know, it hasn't been safe necessarily for women. And it certainly hasn't been safe to make mistakes, to even try to perceive the learning curve gets perceived more as mistake and failure and imperfect and not good enough versus the natural curve of learning and expression and expression and growth. So I'm bowing just so deeply to you. And what I hear, you know, most in there is this element of trust. And when I hear you talk about helping people remember who they really are, it's almost like you're reestablishing a basic fundamental trust that may have gone missing in themselves and their bodies along the way. Does that resonate?
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, again, this isn't an overnight thing. Mm-hmm. This is a practice. So you would ask, you know, is it more powerful to do this in community? Mm-hmm. Do you do it by yourself? I say both.
Yeah.
You know, because, so let me speak to the benefits. So the benefits of having your own chanting practice, and I've cultivated, well, on my website, I have a series of chants called Medicine Music, and I've cultivated chants that are in Sanskrit from deep traditions, and one, you know, mantra is 4,000 years old, so you're tapping into a deep tradition, and then I've also written a lot of them. But the point of all these chants is they're state changers. And when you practice them, you practice being in a state of entrainment where you're not thinking about other things. You're present. I can't always meditate, but I can chant. Mm. And it my brain takes a rest and my soul drives the bus, you know. And the thing about chanting is there's not a lot of lyrics. There's not a lot of melody. It repeats. So it puts me into a state of deep relax. And the benefits of that are I'm breathing every time. So the intercostal muscles in my ribs are getting a workout, expanding my lower ribs. We don't always breathe like that in yoga. Yeah, but not in real life all the time. Depending on what I'm chanting, I'm holding a specific intention that's tapping me into, you know, one of the chants I love, and maybe this is one of the chants I'll give you, is the Medicine Buddha chant, which I know so many of them, and it's perhaps the most profound healing chant. And in that chant, you hold a vision. You know, I took refuge with an amazing teacher named Trungpa Rinpoche, and he taught me this chant, and he taught me in Tibet with a translator, and he taught me to hold a vision of the blue medicine Buddha, and bring that in slowly from outside to my inner being. But you see, I've taken these chants, and I have in my studio here, I've made current versions, and many of them I've woven in a line of English or something that makes it so you can connect to it. So what I invite my students to is to hold any image that's an image of wholeness, of purity, of healing, and bring that image in as you chant. And to know that you can shift your state at your command, at your desire. You know, one of the other chants of mine is called Let It All Go. And I wrote that at a time of heartbreak, just shattered heart. And it's encoded when you chant, the only words are let it all go. But when you chant that, it takes the most painful parts of grief and loss and somehow starts to melt it and dissolve it. And everybody experiences that. And those are things where, you know, again, it's not about going, oh, look what I did. It's about a real humility of tapping into something that is so much bigger than I am. And that really was that shift, that surprise shift I told you about, because it's a shift from ego, from look at me go, to really humility, to let this be of service. Let this touch you. Let me create a wave that sends something out in the world to be of use. And it shifts the whole thing from how we're taught about with music and with sound. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of specific outcomes, I just want to share a few, the women who come to Song Circle, some of them stay with me for, I run it in 8 week, you know, for 8 weeks, and then I start mm-hmm. another one. And I've got one in North Van that I do out of my home because everybody loves my dogs and the grand piano. And then I use beautiful, beautiful space right on Fraser Street in Vancouver. And here's some of the outcomes that I see. And I'm not saying overnight, but sometimes mm-hmm. it happens within the 8 week period. Often it takes maybe two or three and a certain dedication to working the practice enough so it becomes habit. Mm-hmm. And I've seen, oh my, I've seen several women leave abusive relationships that they could not get out of for years. You know, Tina Turner, I don't know if you know her story.
I do know. Mm-hmm.
You know, the Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. Mm-hmm. She started chanting and she found that inner strength to go, mama's out of here. This is not what I'm taking. I've seen women prepare to have difficult conversations. That's one of the themes we talk about. How do you have a difficult conversation? How do you ground your body? What is your physical, you know, approach to knowing you're going into it? How do you keep your heart open and march into employees and, you know, get that raise or get that promotion that they had wanted to for a long time? And you know, one of the conversations is, how do you ask for support? Because we're really good as women. We're so good at it. But to admit that, you know, I need support with this. Yeah. And so I've seen 20 people show up to help somebody move.
Wow.
Because we can't do this life alone. Yeah. And it's not just women. But for right now, it's women. I want to see women rise to more positions of power. I know that war is not a women's game. We would not be sending our children out to any kind of war. We just wouldn't. That we're not wired that way. Mm-hmm. And so one of the other songs that I'm going to send you is one that I've just I'm just completing. It's just being mixed now. And it's called All Women Everywhere. And it sends out a wave to, you know, I'm a woman who has freedom. I'm a woman who is rising in her power. And I claim this for all women everywhere. It sends out a wave to all the women in the world. And one of the things as I was recording this song that surprised me is I came to a section of the song and I started to ask people to come to my studio to speak the words for my mother, for my sister, for my daughter in all these different languages. Oh, wow. And I feel like afterwards I was like, wow, that my higher divine orchestrator here has set me a task to creating a manifesto of peace through language. I put Hebrew and Arabic right next to each other. I put Russian and Ukrainian. You know, it's like as women, we would be talking about, you know, where the best vegetables are and what would help our kids with this and what we're creating with that. And that's what women talk about. That's what we care about, is sustaining life. And so part of this whole thing is that return to the feminine. Oh, I've got three things now that I know I'm going to send you. The third thing is one called water blessings, because in indigenous cultures, the water keepers are women. And water blessings is one that everyone just loves to sing it. And it picks up from the research of, you know, that water cells change when they're given love, and it sends love to bodies of water. And so we go to different parts of the world and hang by beautiful bodies of water and chant this water blessings to the water.
Julie, my heart is on fire. My throat is a little choked up with tears. I could feel the power when you were talking about all women everywhere. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Thank you for all that you are speaking to. And just so everybody knows, to those of you listening, what Julie's referring to when she says, and I'm going to send you, and I'm going to send you, as we begin to wrap our show today, you are in for such a treat, because Julie has so generously offered to play some of this music for you. So you will be able to wrap yourselves up and listen to this as we close the episode. It will be the opening of a mini concert for you, and you'll be able to have your own experience of what Julie Julie is referring to and her beautiful work in the world. And Julie, I could sit and talk with you for days and days and days. Before we wrap up for today, is there anything on your heart that you didn't get a chance to tell us today that you'd like us to know?
Well, I am as smitten with you.
Me too. I love you.
Me. So I'm really not done with this conversation with you. Mm. There's something about you that is so special. And I know you almost came to a retreat and then you got sick. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, over the solstice, over the summer solstice, this coming June, from the Thursday evening to the Sunday afternoon, I am gathering a group of women to be by a beautiful lake in Nanaimo, BC, and to sing your soul open, to touch that place where your earth is firmly on the ground and you are a conduit to start to bring through the music that expresses and heals your soul. And I just really want to reassure you that it's such a safe place. Sometimes, I can't do that, I'm afraid. It's like, it's such a safe place. When you know you're safe, your genius can come through you. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely encourage any of you. And it's not a marketing, come work with me. Well, yeah, if you're called, but find a way to connect with your inner song. It brings you your inner rhythm. It brings you your confidence. And you know, the Ava that I was talking about, authentic voice activation. Mm-hmm. I've worked with many speakers. I also work with women who want to launch podcasts. I have a partner who really helps put all the pieces in place, and I do the performance coaching. And what I see is when you have a purpose inside, when you have a message inside that is for the higher good of all, there's no choice but to express it. You're designed to express it. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, make it easy for yourself by putting people in place who see you and support you and have unique skill sets to help you in areas where you might need help. And one of the lines in All Women Everywhere that's just going to be coming up shortly says, none of us can do it all alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Julie. Oh, what a gift. What a gift you are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for everything. But it's such a deeply powerful, deeply inspiring, and deeply connecting conversation. I'm truly, truly grateful for your big, beautiful heart, your presence on the planet, and for your incredible generosity. Thank you so much for being here today and for all you give. Thank you.
I want to tell you, as someone who listens to voices, your voice resonates at the frequency of transformation, of acknowledgement, and of a deep inner strength. I can hear all of that simply by listening to your voice and how you use it. Am I true? Am I hearing true?
You are hearing true, Julie Blue.
I'm hearing true when I'm listening to you.
I'm so in love with you. I'm so in love with you. All right, dear listeners, I'm in love with you all too. Thank you so much for being here with us. And I am officially closing the episode, but you're going to want to stay on because in a moment you will be serenaded by the beautiful Julie Blue. As always, I hope this episode serves your highest possible good and inspires you to empower your own voice and live your highest life. Until next time, may your own superpowers of the soul shine bright in a world that so profoundly needs your light. Much love, many blessings to you all, and please enjoy this blissful show.
For my mother, for my sister. I'm a woman who has freedom. A woman who is rising in her power. I'm a woman who has her own voice, makes her own choice, and I claim for all women everywhere. I claim this for all women everywhere.
בשביל אמא שלי, בשביל אחותי, לאומי, לאבנתי.
מירי מה כלי, מירי בן הכלי.
צ'אנגי ווד המוצין, צ'אנגי ווד הניאר.
דלמו היא מתקי, דלמו היא שוסר, דלנה שמצ'יץ'.
I'm a woman on a journey. I rise, I fall, I grieve, I live, I love. I'm a woman who is giving thanks for her flaws and strengths. And I claim this for all women everywhere.
Mothers, daughters, mothers, sisters, girls,
singing for the mothers.
Free.
Y'all.